Okay. Welcome, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's open up with a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you for everyone who's here today and help them just to get a blessing from today's message. Most of all, just remind us today, as we're about to celebrate Thanksgiving, but also every day, to give thanks for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he made for us to give us eternal life with you in heaven. Amen. You know, I'm very grateful and thankful for Bible prophecy. And I hope you are too. Amen. It's really important, especially nowadays. You know, we've been doing that in Sunday school. We've been going over the book of Revelation. But you know what? I titled today's message, Be Thankful for Daniel's Dream. See, Daniel's dream is so fascinating. It's a Bible prophecy where most of the prophecy now has taken place, but there's still a little more to come. Remember, guys, Bible prophecy is the most trustworthy evidence of the originality of the Bible. Okay? As I've said before, prophecy confirms the Bible and all the valuable facts it consists of. It proves that it was written down correctly. So when someone comes up to you and say, oh, your Bible's old, it's outdated, it wasn't written down, it was written down years ago, or hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. How do you know they got it correct? Bible prophecy proves that. You can tell people that. You know what? God's word today is the same as it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So don't do that. Don't let someone try to talk you into, oh, they didn't write it down right. You just talk to them about Bible prophecy and say, hey, how can you explain this? Can't. I mean, we have faith that our Bible is correct. We have God's promise that his word will endure forever. And that's enough for me. Okay, I know that. But we have so many prophecies that have taken place or are going to take place. Prophecy is an encouragement with the times we are living in. If you're not encouraged, if you can't read the Bible and see what's taking place today, it encourages me. I get depressed when I watch the news. But then I go to Bible prophecy and say, hey, it's got to take place, guys. This has to come exactly the way God written it down. And it will. So 100% it will. One of my favorites in Daniel is Daniel 7. Like I said, just because the majority of it has already taken place, but there's still a little more to come. So you can turn your Bibles to Daniel 7 if you wish, or you can you'll be able to see it up on the screen. You know, the opposers of the Bible hate when you bring up Daniel. They can't explain it. They can't explain how accurate it is.
Yeah.
Daniel 7, 1 through 8. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and his vision of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. So remember, I just want to put this in. Daniel was not written down in chronological order, okay, because we know in, chapter 5, Belshazzar had already passed away, hadn't he? So it's not in chronological order. Just wanted to just remind you guys so you don't get a little confused. Number 2, Daniel spoke saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven. They were stirring up the Great Sea. Great Sea is a Mediterranean. In case you needed to know that. And four great beasts came up from the sea. each different from the other. Just remember, guys, the four beasts in Daniel's dreams are parallel to the sections of the image seen in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, okay, in Daniel 2. Okay, you're going to hear a lot of similarities because it's the same parallel, okay? Different dreams. Nebuchadnezzar had his dream. This is Daniel's dream, okay? But it's basically, you know, we're talking about, like I said, it's the same parallel. Verse 4. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I watched it till its wings were plucked off and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. All right, so we got a lot going on right there, don't we? Say, man, you sure you're reading the Bible, or you're reading a bunch of, some story about a bunch of beasts? Well, I am talking about some beasts, aren't I? You know what these 4 beasts represent? Represent 4 empires. Daniel 7. The first was like a lion that had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. All right, the lion with eagle's wings represent the Babylonian Empire. Okay? The winged lion statue was a common symbol of the Babylonian Empire. The lion symbolizes the strength and the power of the Babylonian Empire, or the Babylon Empire, and the wings symbolize its swift victories that it had throughout. I watched till its wings were plucked off. What does that mean? The wings being torn off, I believe, represent Nebuchadnezzar's madness. And the lions being set on his feet like a man indicates his restoration in the later years. Okay, so we got number 4 done. Let's go to number 5. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said, thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. We got a kind of like a lopsided bear or something. So we have a second beast like a bear and 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. The empire is the Medo-Persian Empire. So how do we know this? Because of the next text. Was raised up on one side. Remember I said it's a little lopsided. What was it? It was the Medes and the Persians, but who were really in control of the whole empire? Persians were. Okay? Persians were way above the Medes. In fact, Persians just kind of told the Medes what to do. And we know that through history. They were, it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. What does that mean? The 3 ribs represent the 3 conquests of Babylon. Babylon 539 BC, Vidya 546 BC, and Egypt 525. But what does that mean, between its teeth? Explains how they just devour those nations. It's an explanation of how they just conquered them. Okay? They went in there and tore them apart. And we know through history now that has happened. Remember when Daniel wrote this down, this is all, for him, it's all future. Okay? For us, some of this has already come through. Daniel 7:6, after this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. This represents the Greek Empire. Everybody knows through history, who was it? Alexander the Great. Yeah. Conquered lands with the agility of a leopard, but the swiftness of a bird. Tell you a story. You know, when Alexander's army was drawing near to Jerusalem, a priest, this is 100% history, a priest came out to him and showed him Daniel's prophecy. And Alexander was so amazed and impressed that he decided that he would not take his army into Jerusalem to conquer. It's amazing how God works, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, where are the four heads? Some people believe is the four sections of the empire: Greece and Macedonia, Thrace and Asia Minor, Syria and Babylon, number four, Egypt and Israel. I believe the four heads represent the four generals that were divided up the land after Alexander's death. Remember, Alexander did not have any children. He died at the age of 33, so there was no heir to take over. So what happened is his four generals came in and couldn't decide who was going to be the leader, so they divided the land up four ways. So the empire, and showing Daniel's dream is absolutely correct again. It showed. Why does Daniel know all this? Because this is Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy isn't somewhat true. It's all the way true. It always is. It always will be. Daniel 7:7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. All right, this is the Roman Empire. Notice it was not given a name, so therefore, must have had the character of an unknown, hideous, yet terrifying monster. You know, it just didn't recognize it. So they didn't call it, you know, the first ones he called a lion, you know, a leopard, and or a bear, then a leopard. It had huge iron teeth. What does iron represent? Strength, doesn't it? It was different than the three other empires. What was it? It was stronger. Iron. It was to have dominance over people for a longer period of time. Iron lasts longer, doesn't it? As we know, because of history, the Roman Empire lasted a lot longer than the three previous empires that I just talked about. But wait, what are we talking about here? Daniel 7:7 is not over. The last words of it, it had 10 horns. This is future for us now. Okay? So we just went through all four empires have already passed. That's the past for us. And now we're in the future. So parts of Daniel is in the future. Okay, it had 10 horns. This is to come. Daniel 7:7 can get a little tricky if you don't stay focused here, but part of Daniel 7:7 has already come and is in the past. Obviously, not when Daniel had his dream, however, but part of it is still to come. This was done on purpose, okay, to indicate that the Roman Empire, you got to remember, God doesn't do anything that's not on purpose. Daniel 7:7, he could have just started it with Daniel 8, but he put it in Daniel 7:7 because he wanted you to realize something in Daniel 7:7, that there was going to be a Roman Empire, but there was going to be something else to it, that there's more to it. He could have easily just put that in number 8, but this was done on purpose to make you understand what we're looking for in the future. Okay, it's really important that. Okay, so it was, like I said, done on purpose to indicate that the Roman Empire would come on the scene, but would also rise again. Okay? The 10 horns represent 10 kings. Say, well, how do you know that? The Bible tells us. Daniel verse 24. Remember, guys, don't go off me, go off the Bible. If I make a mistake, correct me. I'm not here to make a mistake on purpose. Okay? I just try to go off, I try to match scripture with scripture. 10 horns are kings who shall rise from this kingdom. 7:24. So these four kingdoms or four beasts have happened since Daniel. Got four empires, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. Okay, so however, part of seven, like I said earlier, is future. And how do we know this? Because of the 10 horns. Know this because of verse 24 that I just read. 10 horns of 10 kings. During the Roman Empire, has there ever been 10 simultaneous kings in their lifetime throughout history?
No.
So, we're 100% future. Okay, it's not a question. And you don't even have to go off the Bible. We're talking about man's history. Just go off man's history. Everybody, man's history says Jesus walked this earth. Now, there's plenty of men that don't believe who Jesus says he is. We know who he is. We believe those people. Can't deny history. History shows everything. History shows that. You know, a while back in Sunday school, we were talking about, I don't mean to get off the subject too much, but, preachers that have been preaching about the millennial kingdom, and some of them were saying that we're living in the millennial kingdom right now. We're not. There are so many prophecies, like Daniel's dream, that we can be thankful for, that still have to be fulfilled. Can't have prophecies that haven't been fulfilled if you're living in the millennial kingdom. Remember, we are a church that we believe in all the Bible, not just parts of it. Okay. If you ever are in a church and the pastor talks about believing in parts of the Bible, get out of there. You know you're in the wrong place. Okay? We believe the Bible. His word is correct from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And that's why it's so important to compare scripture with scripture. It makes you understand things that you're not going to understand. You can read one verse and go, man, I can spin it 10 different ways. But if you read other parts of the Bible, it goes, oh, well, that explains it, doesn't it? That explains that verse. Okay, so don't let people, no one reads a book and reads one sentence and then just comes up with their own story with all. That's what preachers are doing now. They're spinning it and saying, oh, well, we're reading from the Bible. Well, yeah, you're reading one verse and then you're not matching scripture with scripture and you're confusing people out there. Okay? It's easy to be confused if you don't say, you know what? I believe in God's word. God's word is correct. It always has been, always will be. Don't let man change your mind. Okay? All right, there's no way, like I said earlier, we've completed Daniel 7 as of yet. Like I said earlier, let's be thankful for Daniel's dream. This is where it gets a little fun and exciting, because you have the majority of the prophecy has come and is now in the past, our past, not when Daniel wrote it down. It was all future for Daniel. Just remember that. However, we've got a little more to come. Daniel's vision is playing out to the T of what he said. That means the rest of the prophecy still to come will do the same. Starting part of Daniel 7 and Daniel 7:8, we are talking about what is to come. Okay, Daniel 7, let's go to Daniel 7:8. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Okay. Remember, he's considering the horns. Remember, what's that? We know the ten horns represent the ten kings, okay? This is future, because we know the ten simultaneous kings in the Roman Empire have never taken place, okay? So we know that. Remember, these ten kings have not received their kingdoms as of yet, right? And there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them. What's the little horn? Little horn's the Antichrist. Okay? Before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. What does that mean? It means that three of these kings will be slain by the Antichrist. Little horn. Okay? And the rest shall be subject to him. He shall be the eighth among them. So now we're down to eight, because he's killed. Of the ten horns, he's killed three. He's the top dog. He's the leader. Okay? These other ones are puppet kings, basically, compared to the Antichrist. Alright. So this means that the Roman Empire will be revived in the future. Some say that the Roman Empire never really went away. It's behind the scenes ruling that way. Don't know. Well, we've heard all through history that the Italians are trying to revive the Roman Empire. I mean, Mussolini tried to say that, you know, if I stay in charge, I'm going to revive the Roman Empire, call it the Roman Empire. I know Italian citizens today saying, hey, you can't arrest me. I'm not an Italian citizen, I'm a Roman citizen. I go off Roman law. So that it's in people's hearts, okay? It's there. People want to do it. And remember, look, things can happen quick. Israel started in a day, didn't it? Okay, so don't think that's far-fetched and it's going to go on for years and years like these previous empires. I'm going to explain that later, too. Not going to be going on for this reign, this kind of fifth empire, the revised, is not a it's not going to be a long run, and I'll explain that more. I don't want to jump too much. Now we're talking about the fifth empire. You've got the Babylonian, the Medes, and the Persians, Greece, Roman. But this fifth empire is either the extension of the Roman Empire or a revised version of it. Remember, like I said earlier, the four beasts in Daniel's dream are parallel to the sections of the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. How do we know this? Because we have the Bible to tell us, don't we? Daniel 2, verse 41 through 43. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it. Remember, what does the iron represent? Roman Empire strength. Just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, They will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Remember, what is clay? Clay is temporary, soft, it's weak compared to iron. Okay? So this is going to be a short empire. It's not going to be a long one. You know this because of what Daniel just said, and also verses like, let's go to Revelation 17:12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. 1 hour short, like how clay is temporary. This empire will be short. Partly of potter's clay and partly of iron. What does that show? It shows the weakness, but also speaks of iron. We all know that obviously iron represents the Roman Empire. And that's why I said earlier, this is an extension of the Roman Empire. Okay? Guys, always compare, like I said, scripture with scripture. It always helps you clear up interpretations that might be a little foggy or misunderstanding that you might have. By doing this, we know that Daniel's dream is parallel to the sections of the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, as I've already said. But we also know that the fourth beast in Daniel's dream is also parallel with what? Revelation 13. Revelation 13 undeniably depicts the same individual as in Daniel. It's talking about the same thing, the Antichrist. Okay? So you can also read Revelation 13 to help understand this more, because John gets into more detail than Daniel does. Okay, John, the book of Revelation is way more detailed than what Daniel is. Okay, Daniel's dream was the way God intended, and John's vision is what God intended. God only gives us what He intends to give us, doesn't He? Not more, not less. Okay. You kind of think God did this out of coincidence? Why do you think God gave Daniel his dream? And then what? 600 years later, He gave John his vision. You ever thought about that? I mean, there's a lot of things, but who only believes in the Old Testament prophecy but rejects the New Testament Messiah right now? Israel. Israel believes in Old Testament prophecy. They've seen Daniel's dream play out. But who also comes back to their God in the last days and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah? Israel. Think about that for a second. You think in the last days they realize that Daniel's dream is playing out exactly as what? John's vision is playing out? Maybe they start comparing what? Scripture with Scripture. What did Charlie say this morning? Revelation is about the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And what is the problem with Israel right now? They're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They still think another Messiah is coming. You talk to Israeli people, they can quote all day long in the Old Testament things. But man, you know, you get into the New, they just go, hey, you know what? Jesus isn't... They just don't believe that. But in the end, they do. They come back to their King, their one and only, our one and only King, the King of Kings. Just remember, I don't think that was out of coincidence at all. Then stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Revelation 13, 1 through 2. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So John's talking about what? The Antichrist here. So we know that Daniel's talking about the Antichrist, and John in Revelation 13 is also. Okay? That's why when people ask, will the ten kings be ruling the revised Roman Empire just in that area or the world? Well, what can you do? You can go to Scripture. Revelation 13:2. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, one great authority. Who's that? Antichrist. What's he going to do? One world leader. Revelation 13:8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What is that? One world religion. It's going to make you worship him. This isn't a regional thing, guys. This is throughout the whole world. Okay, it's everyone. And this is, you know, this is the time. What's next? Revelation. Sorry, it's already on there. Revelation 13:16-18. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. What is here? One world currency. You will not be able to buy things unless you take the mark of the beast. What does rising up out of the sea mean? Good expression of coming out of the sea is what? It comes out of nowhere. You know, like a fish, it just jumps out of there. You're going on a boat and a fish jumps out of the water, right? What happens right now? Who comes out of nowhere right now? Politicians, don't they? They just come out of nowhere. I mean, all of a sudden they're on the scene and they're running our whole country. And you didn't even know these people. A couple years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Don't know. You're not going to know who the Antichrist is until he comes on the scene. But guess what? For believers, we don't have to worry about that. Because we are not going to be going through the tribulation. So don't worry yourself about trying to figure out who it is. You can do it anyway. You don't need to worry about it. All right, so let's get back to Daniel's dream. So the little horn, or the Antichrist, he will persecute the saints to no end. He will be blasphemous. Daniel 7:25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time. A time and times and a half a time, sorry, is an expression used in Daniel and in Revelation to refer to what? 3.5 years, or 1,260 days, or 42 months. Okay? A lot of people saying, well, how do we know that all these prophecies, the years and the dates and all that are correct? Okay, good question. Let's do a quick history lesson. Ancient Egyptians are believed to have been using 365-day calendar as early as 4000 BC, okay? However, the Romans under Julius Caesar refined the standardized. It was called the Julian calendar. And then we went off the Gregorian calendar in 1582. But with that said, the Jewish calendar was counted as 12 months, 30 days for each month, which is interestingly enough, is 360 days in a year. So Daniel and John are going off the Jewish calendar. John in Revelation verifies this, okay? Revelation 3:2, but leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has then given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Also, Revelation 12:6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. So, everything's, so if you're wondering if the years and times are correct, they are, okay? Everything's gonna happen. The Antichrist is gonna be here for the 7 years. Even though Daniel and John were hundreds of years apart, when they wrote these prophecies, you can see the similarities, okay? You can see that they are talking about the same amount of time. Remember, like I said, always match scripture to scripture. Don't take my word for it. Okay, as I explained earlier, a time and times and a half, a time 3.5 years, this time is in the tribulation, okay? So now we have the tribulation going on for a period of 7 years, with 3.5 years where the Antichrist brings on so-called peace to Israel, and then what does he do? He turns on. He turns on them big time. Okay? So we've got Daniel 7. I gotta get moving here. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All nations, peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So what are we talking about here? What is this good news? Had the six empires. Four have come. Two still to come. We've got the Rome. Basically part of the 7 year tribulation. Now we have the millennial kingdom. It's a 1,000 year reign where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be ruler. The main purpose of this the main purpose of Jesus' 1,000 year reign is to fulfill Bible prophecy given to Israel and the promises made to Jesus, the nations, and the whole earth. God promised Jesus he will make his enemies a footstool, and that Jesus' followers would worship him freely. Does that happen now? No. Not even close. God promised the nations of the world that they would live in peace with Jesus as their ruler. Daniel 7, 11 through 14. We live in peace now? And he promised creation that the curse would be lifted. Romans 8, 18 through 23. Animals in the earth would be restored to peace, prosperity. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. I don't think the lion and the lamb are hanging out together in peace, but the lion might be chomping down on the lamb right now, but one day that will happen. So that, you know, I mean, are we, and people would be freed from disease. Ezekiel 34:16. We're not free from disease. These will be fulfilled during the 1,000 year reign. So when you hear that people say we are living in the millennial kingdom, all you have to do is bring up Daniel 7. Okay? And other Bible prophecies. There's other things that prove it. It's not just Daniel 7. But you can just say, hey, those haven't been fulfilled. Okay. I'm gonna cut a little short. Guys, this Thanksgiving, let's be thankful for the country we live in. Let's be thankful for our friends and family and loved ones. I am. Okay. We have a lot to be thankful for. We still live in a nation. Still. Don't know if we will. But we still get to, what? Come here and be. You guys all came here, made your own decision today. And I appreciate that you did that. But let's be thankful for Daniel's dream. Daniel's dream is so encouraging in the times we live. Daniel's dream shows us that we really are close to Jesus' return. It's soon. It's coming. It helps us understand what is going on in this crazy world. It helps us understand Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It helps us understand Revelation 13 and all the other Bible prophecies. You cannot deny that Daniel 7 was written down before these prophecies took place. Not just Bible history, but man's history proves it. Okay? Remember the example of Alexander. That happened. It didn't come from the Bible. They didn't say that was going to happen in the Bible. That's man's history. Wrote that down. Majority of this prophecy, like I said, the majority of this prophecy has taken place. But there's still just a little bit left. And guess what? The rest of it will play out exactly the same as it is written down. But more importantly, Daniel's dream shows that our God, the God of the Bible, is the one and only God, and He is who He says He is. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank You for Bible prophecy. Like Daniel's dream, it proves who You are, and no man can dispute that. If they just open their eyes to the facts, the truth of Your word. As we celebrate this Thanksgiving and our lives beyond, may we always look to You in all situations. Help others to hear Your word, Your words, because we know faith comes by hearing. Thank You for our church and all the people who are here today. May they have a safe ride home and a blessed week leading up to Thanksgiving. Also, we just want to remember the people of our congregation that couldn't be here today that wanted to be here. We want to thank You for the missionaries that we support. Appreciate them. We also, Lord, want to just remember the men and women that are serving in our country, that a lot of them can't be home for their families. We just want to remember and that we're grateful for them. Thank You again, Lord, for everything You've done. Everything You will do in Your name. Amen. Amen. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.